And many thanks to producer Steve Yutinsky for his work. Wake up. Jonas stays with us this hour as we take your final phone calls and experiences right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're with Jonas Elrod and your final phone calls this hour here on Coast to Coast AM. So how does Mira react to all of this now, Jonas? Is she in tune with this?
Yeah, I mean, she is. I mean, we're a regular couple, you know, so we don't really sit around the house talking about quantum mechanics or astral projection. But, you know, us, like every other couple, everyone else on the planet, you know, things come up that are challenges, and we feel very blessed by the teachings and the things we learned how to wake up. You know, we use this information to ground ourselves to really maneuver through all the challenges that are popping up. But, you know, Mara had her own experience to wake up where she kind of understood her namesake, and she had a shift, and then I had my shift on the vision quest at the end of the film. But I feel like we're both in a really good place about it. But, you know, it's not something we talk about nightly, but, you know, every now and then something will come up. And she's had her experiences. You know, like I said, we all have them. You know, some people take them and run with them. Some people, you know, dismiss it. So she's aware.
Okay, let's go to some final calls here. Ern in Stockton, California. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ern.
How you doing, George? Long-time listener. But I never thought I'd call you guys. I just found out 2 months ago that my girlfriend, she told me that she has a demon in her, and that he sees everything she does, and he inflicts pain in her. And she told the priest, and the priest said that, no, it's not a demon. It's people are doing witchcraft at her. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I need help. She's asking for help. And I'm not sure if she's schizophrenic or what. What is... She said she's been doing this. It's been happening to her for 9 years, and I'm not sure what to do about it. She's crying for help. I don't know what to do.
What would you do, Jonas, in a situation like that?
I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, 9 years is quite a long time to be dealing with something like this. I mean,
it's huge. Yeah.
You know, there are things called attachments that can attach to you, and you can go see a skilled acupuncturist who can take that off, and then there are walk-ins that can happen, and there are possessions. I've never met anyone that's had a possession. I think they're actually kind of quite rare. You know, I mean, magic does exist. I mean, these things can happen, but, you know, you may want to look at to see if she is schizophrenic because, and this is my opinion on it, people that are schizophrenic, they can be incredibly psychic. They can tap into this information. The issue there is they can't ground the information, and so... That's why when people have these spontaneous awakenings, meditation is not a suggestion. It's kind of key as far as I look at it. But you could look down that route, and you could also see if there's an acupuncturist or some other experts that could maybe help. If there is a distraction that needs to be made, that could certainly happen. But I'm really sorry to hear that these things are happening.
And Ern, have you been to any other experts or anything like that?
Well, I talked to my some friends from the church, and they don't seem to call me anymore, you know. So, no, I haven't went that way yet. That's what I'm searching for right now.
Isn't it interesting? You try to get help from people, and in some cases, they run away from you.
Well, yeah. And another thing, too, man, is like the discernment, just because it's a spiritual community. I mean, communities have issues, all of them. And where I was naive in the beginning is I had no discernment, but... Luckily, you know, with the internet and all the information that's popping up, you know, you may want to check out local people in the community or see if there's people that could perhaps help you remotely. But, you know, it's best to research these services and see if you can even get a recommendation.
Okay, good luck to you, Ern. Stephanie in Clovis, California is with us now. Go ahead, Steph.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Hi. First of all, my first thing was the same thing you had mentioned earlier in the show about you wouldn't really, you know, you just hear something in your head. Well, I've begun meditating in about 2003 or so, and I did it by myself, and it was, you know, it was something really hard to do. And in about 2005, I kind of felt something in my head, you know, like talking to me. And it wasn't me, though. And it was another voice. So I was pretty shaken up when I got out of the shower and stuff, and I went back to my boyfriend and I said, I thought maybe I had schizophrenia, because I had never had something like that happen. It wasn't me going, okay, you need to go to the store. I had, she said her name was Esther, and that she basically was a protector, and that the worst thing I could ever do in life would be to have self-doubt. And still, while she's saying this, I'm having self-doubt. I'm like, all right, this is really weird. And it really freaked me out at the time. And I walked back into my room, and I went up to my boyfriend, and I told him, and we had just seen A Beautiful Mind, which you guys have mentioned schizophrenia several times tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is exactly what I told him. I go, because I was about 25. And I told him, I go, well, it was a whole full-on conversation. You guys don't have, you know, the time. I don't want to even put that in there. But it was a full-on conversation within my head. And I went back and I told my boyfriend this. And I said, do you think I have schizophrenia? Maybe I should get checked. And he goes, no. He goes, I believe you. And from there, I had a memory. It wasn't me. I've never had the memory. But it was looking through somebody else. It was when I was going to sleep, but I wasn't asleep. And I've never seen anything, but, well, I have, but I haven't ever seen entities. And I actually had one where I had visions, but even when I was awake, you know, it was just for about a 12-hour period. And it was a dark thing, I think.
Obviously. Well, let me ask you this, Jonas. How many people are walking around and they're being accused of being schizophrenic when they're going through and having these same experiences you did?
Oh, I think it's, based on your community, I think it's probably pretty common. And that's the whole tricky slope. And, like, it's kind of a new landscape showing up where, you know, even if you see the psychiatrist in Wake Up, you know, he didn't really know what to do with me. Luckily, he didn't say, oh, there's something wrong. I mean, he said, look, you're completely fine. I just don't understand. But when these things of the unknown come up and people don't know what box to put it in, I mean, well, maybe it's schizophrenic.
But I bet he thought something was going on in your life, didn't he?
I'm sorry?
I bet he thought there might have been something going on in your life.
Certainly, but I think that you're right. I think a lot of people, especially like with children, you know, when young Timmy comes in and tells his mom that he sees something or something's happening, if these children aren't with parents that are open, they could get medicated. They could get thrown a lot of drugs at them, so it'll just go away. And unfortunately, this sometimes happens with adults. I mean, hearing voices and seeing these spirits and having this knowledge, I think, is the most natural thing in the world. It's just, I think as Americans, we're not quite prepared on how to deal with that. It's not something that's integrated in our culture yet.
Well, that's so true. Okay, let's go to John in Los Angeles. Still windy out there, John?
Oh, yeah. The damage in Pasadena is unbelievable. Trees, broken trees everywhere.
That's close.
Yes, a very fascinating topic, and I've had many sort of psychic experiences throughout my life, but they've all been individual. But the most unbelievable one of all that I had, it was actually a group dream where seven of us had the same dream. This was in 1991. We were in Colorado near the border of New Mexico and the spur of the Rocky Mountains there, and four of us, a couple of friends of mine and my girlfriend, had gone up to Denver for the day. We had come back to the house where we were living with three other people at the time. We all had dinner and went to sleep, and what ended up happening is I woke up like a lucid dream. Basically, I woke up, I thought I was awake, but soon, you know, realized that I was dreaming, but it was just, everything was the same. I was in the house, but it sort of had, you know, it was a silhouette of the house, sort of, you know, see-through. And I got up and I walked out into the living room, and I could see where my friend was sleeping on the floor in the living room. And I walked past where he was and stood at the windows, and I could and this basically about 2 inches of water came pouring across the landscape, and at the same time it sounded like millions of people in the distance were screaming or something. You could hear this, like it was like the consciousness of millions of people crying out or something. Well, this water hit the house and everything else in my dreamscape dissolved and sort of fell away, and I felt very exposed and vulnerable, and I sort of felt like a little fish or a shrimp at the bottom of the sea on a reef, and looking above me, it was almost like a giant school of fish or something was passing over. You know, you could see the stars and everything, but it was suddenly, you know, everything was in silhouette, and there was great shapes and things moving across the sky, and I was, you know, very aware that I was dreaming, and I was like, whoa, like, I need to wake up. This is, you know, terrifying. So I went back towards where my body was sleeping next to my girlfriend, and as I got halfway back towards where I was sleeping, something that was passing over in the great school of things noticed me, and suddenly there was this, you know, active, conscious, you know, thing basically saying, like, let me in. Basically, it was trying to, like, I felt like it was trying to, you know, access my consciousness. And I was, like, you know, very terrified and was like, stay out. Like, no, like, I'm trying to keep it out. So, you know, in my dream, I sort of manifested that I was, like in a little room, and the thing was knocking at the door. And it was like, let me in, you know, and I was like, no, like, stay away. I need, you know, and I'm like, oh, how do I get back to my body and wake up? And I'm like, going, wake up. This is a dream, you know, like, oh, my God.
This was a lucid dream for you, John.
Yeah, very lucid dream. And in the end, everyone had the same dream. Basically, everyone had the water and the noise, and they were all singled out, and we were all confronted with our worst fears, like whatever was like attacking us basically was using our worst fears against us. You know, basically I had had an experience recently that I was really troubled about, and the thing at the door was like using it against me and trying to sort of break down my resolve, and like it was saying, just go back to sleep. You know, it's okay, it's just a dream. Just go back to sleep. And when I'd go, oh, maybe it is, the door would start to open, and I'd feel this, like, it was almost like it was trying to, you know, take something from me. And I was moving at the same time across the floor, trying to get back to my body. And I ended up right where my friend was sleeping on the floor. And as I passed over him, I caught a glimpse of what he was dreaming. And I could see him standing in the water talking to a girl. And which I found out later when we all shared the stories in the end that, you know, that was what was going on with him. And, you know, I'm trying to fight this thing off and stay lucid enough to keep it from, you know, it felt very malevolent. So what ended up happening for me is in order to wake up, I was right next to my friend, and I basically like pushed my dream body into where his, you know, he was, and basically like sort of merged like my head into his head and said, hey, you know, Dave, wake up. We're having, you know, some kind of nightmare. And he snapped him out of it enough to where he realized that he was dreaming as well.
You were able to pull him out of it. Well, Jonas, let me ask you if you've ever had an experience, real or dream, where these demons were trying to take over you.
You know, I don't even like to call it demons, to be honest. I almost feel like that gives it too much power. I mean, I just look at it as pranksters or tricksters. And I mean, this stuff can, you know, I mean, your dream sounds really intense. I mean, some of the stuff can get kind of wild. But, you know, I've never had that kind of stuff that you see in the movies. You know, I've seen stuff that spooked me, but I've never had anything try to physically hurt me and, you know, jump in my body or anything like that.
You've been lucky.
I mean, I mean, is that common?
I think so. Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people get possessed. You know, when their guard is down, these entities pop in there, and they're not very friendly. So you've been lucky.
No, I mean, I know there's definitely some morons on the path and some kind of bad fellows, but yeah, I've never had any experiences like that. other than just my own fear of things I've seen. But, you know, I worked hard to get through that fear, and, you know, it certainly made a difference.
Do you think that you've been chosen, Jonas, for some kind of a message?
You know, I'll be real honest. That, like, the word chosen, it just seems grandiose. So, no, I wouldn't say that. I feel that, like all of us, we have a part to play, and for whatever reason, I was supposed to get this information out with this film, but, you know, beyond that, I have no idea. And, you know, making the film was definitely one of the hardest experiences I've ever had, and kind of when I signed up to do it, I didn't realize I was going to be the guy in the film. I thought I was going to be the filmmaker behind the camera, but I definitely feel like it was the right move, and I definitely feel very rewarded that people are responding so strongly to it.
Was it weird for you to see yourself in this film?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I'm not a narcissistic guy, so to hear my monotone voice or look at the funny hairstyles that I have or, you know, all the personal stuff with me and Mara that we exposed and my family, and then really me stumbling on this path to try to understand was definitely very humbling. But, you know, I agree with my my team that that's why it works, because we're really kind of showing warts and all of what this path looks like. I think a lot of people talk about these things, well, like a saber on a white horse, I'm on a spiritual path. Well, brother, the spiritual path is a lot of hard work, and it's definitely, for me, the hardest challenge ever. But, you know, I'm definitely thrilled that we got it out and got it done.
Super. This is an international show. We're going to China now. Jeremy, you're up with us. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hi, George.
Hey, good to have you back on.
All right, then. And hello to you, too, Jonas.
Hello.
Yeah, I actually have a question real quick. Maybe you can explain this for me. Sometimes when I'm sleeping or I'm about to go to sleep, sort of like in the first stage or whatever, I always have a weird experience, and this has been going on for a couple of years now, and this past year has been very, very much frequent. I always like see things kind of like fusing in and out of the wall, images kind of appearing there and stuff, almost like spectral-like images. And, you know, it's kind of weird and stuff. And
are you awake? Are you awake, Jeremy, or is it a...
I'm semi-awake. You know, I'm like, I might be in that first stage of sleeping, but then I'm kind of conscious of it. You know, I'm like conscious of it. I know I'm in the room there and stuff like that. It's like, I wake up, right? It's kind of like, I see it in the dream. And as I wake up, sort of get into waking up, it's still there. And I'll stop and stare at it for a while until I have to, like, you know, turn on light to make it go away or whatever.
All right. So, well, I'm going to put you on hold, Jeremy. We're going to hit this break and we'll come back and we'll chat about that. What are you seeing, these figures in the dark? I'm George Norrie, and we will be back in just a moment with your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Make sure you're part of that program. And when we come back with Jonas Elrod, we'll take final phone calls as we talk about his work, Wake Up, on Coast to Coast AM. Jonas, where do you go next with this? You know, the film is done. It's out. You've gone back to your other life, the normal life?
Well, you know, I don't really know what normal is anymore. It's been a really nice whirlwind with all the support around the film. But, you know, we're very committed to this message. So we tour the film around the country, and we do a Q&A at the end, and, you know, people share their stories and comments and questions, and it's been very symbiotic. So we're going to be doing that throughout the new year. And, you know, if you're interested, you could find us at wakeupthefilm.com and see where we are. And like we mentioned earlier, Oprah has the film on her network OWN, and she's showing that Sunday. And, you know, we just feel very, very passionate about this work and this information, and we want to keep getting it out.
Super. Now, Jeremy from China was talking about how at night, he would see these apparitions or these things in the darkness. Has that happened to you?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, that's almost, I mean, it's like a nightly experience. So
I can give you the good news first or the bad news first.
Let's give us the good news first.
Okay, here's the good news. You are never truly alone. I mean, do you want the bad news now?
Yeah.
You are never truly alone. So, you know, spirit is with us. I mean, for me, it's just spirits are always around. They're around all of us. We have guardian spirits. We have spirits that, at least for me, all of us, you know, cheerlead and try to guide us. I mean, I think the magic is when you start opening up and you start listening to that guidance. So that can be a really comforting, beautiful thing. At least it is for me. But in the beginning, you know, I certainly didn't think this was very funny. You know, when I want to go take a shower and I see all this stuff around me, I mean, it became a divine comedy. But the more I just gotten used to these experiences and just realized that this stuff has always been here, it's just new to me, you know, the more comfortable I've gotten really gives me a lot of hope. I mean, it's very encouraging. It's great to know that there's such a system around us of love and guidance. So,
all right, back to the final calls, George in Allen Park, Michigan. Go ahead, George.
Hi, George.
Hey, and, good to have you with us.
Jonas.
Hi.
It's like the prophet Jonas, Jonah also, but Jonas in the King James. I think you're living in the belly of the whale right now, and when you emerge, then you'll proclaim the truth. When I was about 5-6 years old, I heard a voice. My grandmother was in the basement washing clothes, and my mother was hanging clothes up out in the yard. And this voice was in the back bedroom where I liked to go because there was a Victrola there, an old Victrola, and they allowed me to play with that sometime. And this voice just said my name twice, and it was a voice I've never heard since or before. It was neither male nor female. It came from everywhere and nowhere. And I went and asked my grandmother, but I knew the answer. I said, did you call me? She said, no, I didn't call you. Then I went out into the yard and asked my mother if she had called me, and she says, no, I didn't call you. I says, well, somebody spoke
right?
My name clearly twice. It wasn't too long after that, it was at nighttime, but I wasn't in my bed. I was walking in the living room, and the wall opened up, and this being came through the wall, and it was a beautiful being. And angel of light, an angel, and that angel took me with it, and we flew around our neighborhood in Detroit, in the city of Detroit, and we're just talking, and I was instantly bonded to this angel and just had great love and felt the emanation from love from the angel, and time went by very quickly, and the angel says, well, you have to go back home now. And I said, well, I don't want to go back home. I want to be with you and go with you, stay with you. I love you. So I love you, but you have things you have to do. You have to live your life, and there's things that God wants you to do. And I found out what he wants me to do in these last few years, and that is your message.
Are you sure, George, you didn't die?
No, I didn't.
And they sent you back?
Yeah, no, I didn't die. I didn't die at all.
Well, how many messengers are out there, Jonas, like you, like George? How many? Lots?
Not to sound like a Hallmark card, but I feel like we all are. We all know these truths. Some people, like stuff like present company, are aware of it. But we all came from there, and we're all going to go back there. And so the idea that we remember it or have these experiences that kind of nudge us to a bigger picture or divine truth, I think that's all of us. What's exciting to me is to hear callers and hear these stories that more and more people are having these experiences or have had these experiences and integrating and really stepping closer to our divine nature, you know. I mean, I can't look at the news, but for so long without just looking at the whole game plan they have down here. Everything is fear-based. Everything seems to be pain and suffering. And to have these experiences and this truth, I think it's what's going to shift everything. So, you know, the more people that step up, I think the better.
Let's go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Dan's with us east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, George. Hi, Jonas. Can you hear me?
Hi. Sure thing.
All right. I just have a short little story and then one question.
Okay.
I've been experiencing sleep paralysis since I can remember. And as I've gotten older, it's happened more and more often. And when it happens, sometimes I feel like I float away from my body. Usually I'm too nervous to open my eyes, but when I do, I'll see lights throughout my room or like black shadows. There was one week about 6 months ago where I experienced sleep paralysis every night for a week. Now, what's different about that time period is that at night or like early morning, like 3 to 5, 3 to 6, I would see like these things zipping around my room, like black or just things out of the corner of my eyes. I would see what looked like floating faces, like moving side to side or away from me. The best way I can describe what they look like is shadows or outlines, like watching heat rise off the concrete. And my most memorable experience is when I was lying in bed, seeing these things all around my room. I was getting more angry and just like, get away, go away. So I finally just yelled, get out, really loud. And I saw, it was like I made it flinch, like flinched into existence. I guess that's the only way I could describe it. And I was pointing at my window, and it was just this black, shadowy mass. I was pointing, and it was slowly moving away. And I felt like just out of nowhere, I yelled, and I made it, like, flinch and pop into reality. Now, my question is, how do you suppose I can protect myself from things like that, I feel some kind of fear when I see it. I think if it was a good thing, I wouldn't feel like that. And also, I'd like to hear some more of your experiences with higher, like, loving beings or entities or whatever, and your take on aliens. And I'll take my question off the air.
Okay.
Okay, well, I mean, I always say this, and this isn't a butt-kissing statement to women, but women they seem to be more tapped in where they can feel something. So the idea that you're feeling this and it feels off, then, you know, you commanding it to leave is absolutely the right thing to do. In the beginning, I would burn sage to remove, you know, unwanted energies in the house. And then there's different techniques you can do to put up energetic boundaries. But the big thing for me was just the fear that I was carrying around would really draw it out. And so when I started kind of coming to terms with my own fear and letting it go and then started learning how to sage and set boundaries, everything kind of got a lot easier.
And you're a believer in an extraterrestrial life, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, how narcissistic could I possibly be to think of the ever-expanding, multidimensional universe that, you know, is 7 billion humans on this tiny pebble? I mean, as far as what that is or what it looks like, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I would say, of course, there's other life out there.
Let's go to Chris in Oklahoma City. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Well, how's it going out there? You guys hear me?
Going well.
Well, I got to have, you know, a question and an experience that I had. You know, I was a younger guy. I was 10 years old. I was living in Panama City. So I was very young, and I was living with my family at the time. And they were, my family was sleeping every time. And it was during the night where I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I wake up, and I see this entity, a green entity, actually. It was actually green. Stand over me, and I just remember that it was just smiling at me, you know, kind of laughing or something for some reason. But at the same time, even though I was that young, I felt that that entity came out of me or something like that. And all of a sudden, it just starts running out, like running off the living room where I was sleeping with my family, and then it goes through the walls. And after you go through the window, and I can just hear it laughing and stuff like that. And for some reason, it kind of freaked me out. And I can still, I'm 21 years old right now. I can still remember this experience for a long time, you know. And, you know, and ever since that died, you know, was this a dream or something very lucid dream or something? I couldn't really, you know, tell what it really was.
Well, it probably wasn't a dream at all. You know, it's amazing, Jonas, how many people are having these experiences, as I was telling you.
Yeah, it's it's definitely overwhelming to know this, but I think when you have these experiences, even if they're not pleasant or they're a little weird or unknown, at least for me, working through this, and the majority of the experiences I have now around it are very pleasant, life-enhancing, beautiful. You really do start to shift and see things differently, and you really do, you don't really answer to the institutions you used to. You really kind of come into your own power, and so the more and more people have these, the more and more of these people wake up and become more conscious, I really think is when we can shift everything on the planet. So that's kind of, the optimist in me speaking on it, but...
That's good.
It's got to be going somewhere, right?
I mean, you got that right. Michael is in L.A., and he's on coast to coast. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
I'm 71 now, but when I was 29 years old, things started happening, and they're still happening. And I was in bed, and I woke up all of a sudden, probably 2 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
And at the foot of my bed, there was a vision, 3 people. I believe that the one in the center was the Blessed Virgin Mary, and on either side, a couple of women who were saints. And this scared me. And they didn't say anything. They just looked at me. And I got this idea that they wanted me to say the rosary. So I immediately started saying the rosary, and they just stood there and watched me while I said the rosary. And I was so scared, my mouth was so dry, I finished 5 decades, and I said, and they just stayed there. And I said, oh, my gosh, they won all 15. And I was just like, I can't do this, I said, okay, I'll promise them that I'll do the other 10 decades, during the day. And so the minute I didn't say anything out loud, I just thought it. And they left. And believe me, I said the next 10 decades that day. And then after that, things started to happen. I think this was sort of a preparatory thing, because I started having visions at night. And this happened for about 6 months, where maybe 2 or 3 times or so in a week, I'd be awoken, and my room wasn't there. I would see stars, and I would see just like planets floating around, and these terribly ugly figures, like distorted animals floating around.
Distorted animals.
Yeah, they would look like animals, but they were horribly ugly, horrible, ugly looking things.
Did they try to attack you?
They would just float around, and they would look and it was scary as heck. And so every time this would come about, I would say a rosary, and then they would leave after a while. But my room wouldn't be there. It would be like I was looking at the universe. And as I say, I would see like planets and stars and everything, and floating around in this were these terrible looking creatures who were malformed, all these animals. And so this went on for about, as I say, about 6 months on a regular basis. Then it started to taper off. And one day, about maybe, a couple of months after it stopped, basically, I was awoken again at night, and this creature was standing there looking something like the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, and so I thought it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I was going to start praying the rosary, and it stepped forward, and I saw a claw.
A claw?
Yeah. So I knew it was a demon trying to get me to pray to it as if it was the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Well, that's a good point. Have you ever seen apparitions like that, Jonas, claw-like or anything like that, devil-looking?
No, that's a wild. Well, I mean, not with claws. That's a really wild story. I have seen spirits try to present themselves as something they're not, and when you call it out, or when I've called it out, it'll show who it really is. So, But no, that's a really wild story.
They're out there. There are many of them. Wake Up, where do you get the DVD?
If you'd like to see the film, we're at wakeupthefilm.com, and we would love you guys to check it out. And we're also touring, and we're also being screened on OWN on Sunday.
Well, that's got to be pretty cool for you. You got a little party going that night, or what?
A little party? No, I think I work too much to do parties at this point, but we feel very, very blessed, and we're really thrilled at the response it's getting. So, you know, couldn't ask for a better time.
You are not afraid of death, are you?
Well, I don't want to sound all macho and not. I mean, I was certainly.
Well, no, I mean, nobody wants to leave early.
But as far as where I'm going to go, no, I don't have any fear in that whatsoever. But, you know, hell, life's pretty great. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy my girlfriend, my friends. But as far as what happens, no, I'm not afraid. And that wasn't the case prior to this because of all the kind of programming and all the fears I had about what's going to happen from the eventual God. You know, that's no longer my God. My God is, you know, that I love. And, you know, that's a tremendous blessing that came out of these experiences for me.
Sounds like it's changed you.
It's totally changed me. I mean, I realized how closed down, you know, how fearful, angry, depressed, or whatever you want to call it before these experiences. And really Wake Up documents me integrating these and really trying to heal myself and, you know, grow lighter and become, you know, what I was supposed to become. You know, it still boggles my mind. I'm this guy talking in these kind of terms about these sort of experiences, but you know, I agree with what Steve said earlier. We're all on this path. It's just there are some that are conscious of it and some that aren't. And what's really exciting about all the calls and the work that you do are people are becoming more and more aware of what this reality is really about.
Well, there's absolutely right. We've talked about Wake Up on Coast to Coast AM tonight. Thank you so much, Jonas. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Tim Binall, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.